good morning and thank you. Hello everyone, welcome to our call. As usually, we are going to present end of the period, end of December results, which have been examined yesterday by our board of directors. As you know, they have been prepared according to IFRS standards, and the figures which you will see and which we'll present are not audited yet. So now I will move to the introduction to give you a summary of our performance in the last quarter and for the full year. As we indicated in previous calls, we had again very well-developing commercial activity, though slightly impacted by the macroeconomic environment, in the sense that we grew our lending activity in terms of outstanding by only 13% in year-on-year in December 25. As you remember, we have been quite dynamic in the past, but of course, everything we do has been connected with the development of the economy. As you can see on this slide, we have particularly grown in the corporate, large corporate segment, which is also very robust in terms of quality of the profile. In the retail segment, we have grown our production year on year by 14%. And in terms of the lending activity related to our sustainability commitments, we have added almost 1 billion new sustainable financing, namely 919 million euro in 2025, above what we have expected for this period. On the deposit side, we have also performed quite well by growing more than 10% year on year in terms of the balance of deposits and current accounts at the end of the year. As to the digital channels, we have grown by 13% the subscribers of our most important digital tool, UBRD, our mobile app for private individuals, with 1.9 million users, almost 1.9 million users. We have a penetration of almost 90% of our client base by the enhanced tool, and here I would really recommend or welcome Madalina talking later on the concrete features we have introduced to our tool, which enabled also the growth of the subscribers and the usage of the tool. 60% of our clients have enrolled in cashback loyalty program. You remember we started it about a year and 2 months ago, so it's gaining popularity. Now, this, of course, commercial performance has resulted in good gross operating income of 9% year-on-year growth. Here we are, for better comparability, we are removing the tax elements and the charges which are not related to our operational activity, especially the turnover tax, which, if you remember, has doubled in the middle of last year, and it is impacting a lot the OPEX, since I just want to remind it is a gross revenue tax which is booked according to IFRS in the OPEX of all banks. NPL ratio 2.4% below the market average. Again, as usually, we sustained the quality of our portfolio despite the macroeconomic turbulences, despite the difficulties economic actors across the market are facing, which proves that our origination, monitoring, and collection performance has been traditionally strong and remains strong in 2025. The cost of risk, you see, significantly increased compared to 24, and yet, in basis points, Philippe is going to clarify later, is in line with what we have told you some time ago. We call it normalization because we are coming from very low levels, and as you can see, it has not impacted too negatively our performance. And now our return on equity around 17% if we exclude the turnover tax. Again, I repeat, the turnover tax is impacting our OPEX with a net profit about above 1.5 billion RON. So now I will stop here with the summary because my colleagues are going to give you more details and we'll transfer the mic to Claudio to talk about the environment.
Thank you, Maria, and good morning, everyone. We are indeed satisfied by the results the bank delivered in 2025, and this in spite of the headwinding macroeconomic environment. We know the measures that started being implemented at mid-2025 to allow for the fiscal consolidation. In spite of those measures, the economy still grew, even though at a lower pace than the average of the EU economy. Most probably we'll still wait for confirmation on the last quarter, but most probably the economy grew by roughly 1% in 2025. And the silver lining in all this is that we saw some improvement signs in economic growth starting in the third quarter, mainly driven by investments. And I think this is a good sign in a context where the economy tries to balance more its economic growth model from consumption toward the investments. Still, inflation remained high, the highest in Europe at 9.7 year end. It's now on a gradually improving path, i.e. decreasing path. It will probably stay sticky in the first half of the year, to then starting gradually going down in a more accelerated way till end of 2026, where it's expected to be at slightly below 4%. On the monetary policy, the liquidity situation in the banking sector is fully restored now. It's putting downward pressure on interest rates. They corrected quite significantly on the money market rates. They are now approaching the deposit facility rate of the central bank. Still, most probably the central bank will not act prior to see convincing signs of the anchoring of the inflation expectations. At the same time, as we see encouraging signs on the fiscal consolidation, probably in the second quarter of this year, if those measures are still being firmer, the central bank may preemptively act and dare to decrease to operate the first cut in the monetary policy in the second quarter. I was speaking about the interbank liquidity. It's now again comfortable, approaching the 30 billion RON. We all remember that last year in May, surrounding elections, the economy, the liquidity was almost converging toward zero. Now the central bank is again somehow creating liquidity due to the inflows of money coming from European funds and portfolio investments. And we believe they are at times even buying euros, buying RON against the euro to not let too much the RON appreciate, which is adding up to the liquidity in the banking sector. And I will wrap up on the banking indicators. They continue to be comfortable as far as liquidity and capital are concerned, well above regulatory levels and even comparing to the EU levels. Whereas on the NPL ratio, if we look at the EBA definitions, the country still scores in a low-risk bucket category, even though the NPLs are showing some signs of increasing due to the economic headwinds that we see. But the coverage levels remain strong, well above those of the European Union.
And now I will be passing the floor to my colleague Mădălina to
drive you in the commercial performance. Thank you.
Thank you, Claudiu. Hello, everyone. So an interesting and a very good 2025. I will start actually with the digital performance, which is the core of our strategy. And 2025 was a year in which we focused to engage customers and onboard customers in our existing digital channels, as well as develop a lot of new features, either for sales or for service in the digital ecosystem. A part of the double-digit increase in number of users or number of transactions or transactions on the acquiring system, we are very proud that 2025, mainly for fourth quarter, but the entire year, mark some very important new features. A part of the ones, I will pick actually some of them, which are really innovative. So we were the first bank connecting with a police database. This actually enabled in both sales service, risk and security, cyber security systems to actually engage customers and protect as well our business. In the fourth quarter, we also enroll ourselves in RoPay e-commerce for BRD merchants, P2M, e-commerce deep link, QR code and refund. This is an important step in for the corporate business in our acquiring transactions. Fourth quarter marked as well a very welcomed by the customer new feature, fully online onboarding, native in the app, a flow with which in 5 minutes customer can enroll, activate into the in the bank and issue a card. Also, multi-currency is one of the features that we differentiate with in the market. A part of the digital banks, we are the first bank launching this multi-currency that optimizes the cost of payment for our customers and allow simple usability for them. Partial repayments, Fidelis subscription, these are services that we actually add into our digital ecosystem in order to enable the contact with the bank. This actually supports us and we continue to optimize our branch network, now offering 24/7 self-service in 272 locations. And our customer support remains fast and reliable with 75% calls answered during the 20 seconds in contact center, positioning us with a very good service level on the omnichannel. BRD continue to champion sustainability. In 2025, we hosted the fourth edition of the Climate Change Summit in Romania, promoting awareness and inspiring actions. Our commitment to responsible financing on top of this presence is reflected also, as Maria mentioned, in the almost 1 billion sustainable financing, 919 million, out of which 137 million retail, almost 800 million for corporate. And as reflected in the presentation, I will actually mention some key notable transactions. We are very proud to be the ones launching the first sustainability-linked loan for our SME clients in the Romanian market. Some landmark transaction, a strategic partnership between BRD and Auchan. The joint global coordinator, joint global coordinator structuring bank and joint sustainability coordinator in autonomous syndicated loan. And of course, two new products, new guarantees with investment and development bank covering for all our SME customers. In terms of lending, I will move to the lending portfolio. Year-on-year growth of 13%. This is actually, we are very proud to have a balanced contribution in both retail and corporates in terms of market share. However, the main driver in the lending growth for our portfolio this year were the large corporates, almost 24% year-on-year increase on large corporate, while SME and retail actually continue a responsible growth. This performance is basically not only compared with our previous performance, is also a better performance compared to the market. End of 2025, BRD increased 50 basis points in its market share for lending, very well balanced between retail and corporate, 14.8 end of December 25 for retail, 50 basis points increase year on year, 8.6% market share for corporate, 50 basis points increase year on year. So we are very actually proud that a part of overperforming in our segments, across the segments, we overcome the market as well. In terms of deposit base, we actually continue growing our deposit base, having above 10% increase year on year, with a significant improvement in the corporate as a result of increasing the relationship and growing in market share in lending, also in becoming main bank for these customers. We have actually continue the growth as well in the individual deposits. Of course, according to the macroeconomic environment, we actually managed to leverage on the universal bank and growing on the segments with potential. A part of the on-balance sheet growth in our portfolio, we continue to be the leader in diversifying asset under management for our customers. We confirm and consolidate our first position in asset management, reaching 51% year-on-year growth and a balance of 9.3 billion asset under management. And this is actually very sustainable for the future growth, as actually we reach almost 200,000 clients. It's well diversified, the portfolio, in these 12 investment funds that our asset management subsidiaries have. I will pass the microphone to Vladimir to talk about liquidity and our financial performance.
Thank you, Madalina. Good morning from my side as well. I will continue with the liquidity. So traditionally, like the liquidity of BRD as well in 2025 stayed at very good level, despite like the more volatile environment which we have experienced mainly in the first half of the year. We are able to keep our liquidity position very solid and allowing us to continue our lending activity, which Madalina described. Our loan to deposit went up to slightly below 75%, which is staying very safely in line with our strategy and very in line with all the regulatory indicators which we are fulfilling. From the liquidity buffer point of view, we are still having 27% of our assets as a high liquid buffer, like to overcome any potential liquidity issues which we might see on the market. Moving to the revenues. Speaking about the revenues, the result of BRD for 2025 ended like almost 8% growth of revenues overall. The growth was driven by all lines of the NBI, starting with NII. The NII was positively affected by the volume effect in both retail and corporate segments, which is like offset by a slightly negative effect due to the interest rate environment and the overall competitive pressure. Our NIM stayed at the level 331 basis points, roughly 4 basis points behind the last year. So even at this level, we are quite resilient and we are able to defend our margins. We can as well like somehow show like the development of the index of IRCC, which went down from 593 to 571 during the 2025 and impacted obviously as well the pricing on our mortgage portfolio. The second item, which was growing 10% year over year, is the fees and commissions. The fees and commissions like were supported by the activity of our clients and the positive development of active clients overall. We have the growth linked to cards, custody, and as well to the activity of our corporate clients. Among the cost fees which we paid this year, it's mainly linked again to the SRT transaction which we concluded during the 2024 and are allowing us basically to optimize our risk-weighted assets. For the other income, the growth was almost 14%. It's linked to the comparison base of 2024 and as well to the our investments and disposal of investments which we did during the 2025 and helped the overall result of the NBI in 2025. Moving forward to the cost base, as Maria already mentioned, the cost base was this year quite visibly influenced by the changes in the regulation and the growth of the turnover tax. With this turnover tax included, our OPEX base went up by 9.9%. If you would exclude this effect of the tax increase, the cost base would be growing 6.6% and having still the positive jaws compared to the MBI of 8%. If you look a bit more into the structure of our OPEX growth, starting with the staff cost year over year went up by 2.4 and quarter of the over quarter staying flattish. It's a result of the transforming the organization and like overall reduction of the FTEs and capacity as we have year over year decreased our staff around 10%. Speaking about other expenses, the other expenses are more dynamic, growing by 11%. Worth to mention that in 2024 we have the comparison base as we had as well like some income from the sales of assets during 2024 which were not posted in 2025, and as well like good to mention like that the, from the structure point of view, like we were in line with the strategy and the new features which Madalena introduced, investing mainly in the IT assets. And the development of the OPEX is therefore influenced mainly by the depreciation of IT and the investments which we did in the technology and the scaling of the of our digital capabilities to the higher volumes. If you look at the underlying cost income ratio, in 2025 we reached 45.3% and declined by 60 basis points without the impact of the turnover tax. And we are pursuing like our target to converge closer to the 40% cost income. I will stop here and I will hand over to Filip Tibo, our CRO, regarding the credit quality.
Thank you, Vladimir. So in last year for the cost of risk, we had a guidance of 40-50 basis points for the full year. In Q4, so we decreased the cost of risk to 33 million or 25 basis points, which globally brings us in the lower range of this guidance, which was 40. The cost of risk was, we see it as being normalized with a very resilient corporate portfolio. And individuals that posed quite sensitive to the item, the difficulties, macroeconomic difficulties. So the asset quality remains very strong at 2.4%. We actually have still a comfortable coverage ratio at 63.4%. I have to recognize that on this one we were a bit disappointed because we had a corporate default towards the end of the year that a bit derailed us. I would have expected to be more on the 65% coverage ratio. Anyhow, this shows that the portfolio remains quite resilient. And actually, this is also a bit of a paradox because we could have pushed probably more the provisioning, but that was not the intent. We remain very conservative in terms of provisioning. And so globally, the portfolio remains quite resilient. We see the results for September 2025 in terms of coverage of the system was at 65.1%. We expect it to decrease further towards the end of the year for the system. So globally, I think we are in a really good position.
Thank you, Philippe. I will continue with the capital position. We ended the year with the capital adequacy ratio at 22.6. If you look at the development from the December of the last year, the main growth of risk-weighted assets is linked to the growth of the loan portfolio, which consumed almost 400 basis points. On the positive part of our capital ratio development are the retained earnings. As you know, like, we paid out 50% of our profit from 2024. And as well as the market rates went down, we have posted a lower reserve on our OCI bond portfolio evaluation. So this helped as well as to partially offset the growth of the risk-weighted assets. In 2025, we were, like, for the full year benefiting from the SRT transaction, which helped us, like, to reduce partially the risk-weighted assets. And as well, during the 2025, we fully implemented the CRR3 regulation, which slightly increased the risk-weighted assets on the operational risk. Regarding the MREL, we are fully compliant with the regulation, and it's fully included in our results. Because we already, like, received the guidance from the National Bank for the dividend payout for 2025, we are proposing to the General Shareholder Meeting at the end of April the payout of 50% of our profit of 2025. This is all from my side, and I will hand over to CEO for the final remarks.
Yes, I think everything was said, but just to summarize once again, we have behind us a quite successful and solid commercially and financially 2025. When we talk about the commercial part, we grew exactly in the lending activity where we wanted to. The mortgage loans grew, the origination grew by 29%, the large corporates grew by 17%. These are the most robust segments of our client base in terms of risk profile. In the ESG focus of the bank and in the sustainability financing, more than 900 million, almost 1 billion euro new sustainable loans. The deposit base, healthy growth of above 10%, 10.5 year on year. Our digital tools are developing with accelerated pace. We are catching up with the market, and our clients can enjoy new, very important features, some of them quite innovative, some of them offered only by the purely digital competitors. All this resulting in strong performance on the top line, and despite the heavy burden of the tax on turnover reflected in the OPEX, very good operational performance. Asset quality remains very stable. Once again, I want to emphasize, not an easy year, and yet, with this growth of our commercial activity, very robust risk performance. Finally, the growth of our profit, if we exclude the tax of the revenues, is 6%, and the ROE, if we exclude the turnover tax, and 17% capital base, liquidity ratios, everything in line with our budget, with our predictions, and very comfortable. Here, I'll give you the floor for questions. Thank you once again for your participation today.